I'd like to read a few Christmas inspirations, quotes, and I'll end with a scripture verse. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Seeing is believing, but sometimes the most real things in the world are the things we can't see. The conductor from the Polar Express. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Will Ferrell, Elf. He who is not Christmas in his heart will never find it under a tree. Roy L. Smith. Peace on earth will come to stay when we live Christmas every day. Helen Steiner Rice. The words from Mary herself, from Mary's song, Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 49. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one who has done great things for me, holy is his name. On the heart of Mary, the mother of Jesus, before she delivers the Savior of the world, the proclamation that the baby she soon will soon deliver her. I have a story I'd like to share. It starts in a stall, and O Holy Night. Now the stall wasn't like Jesus was born in the barn, in a cave, wherever it was, we're not really sure. But it was in a stall, and the song truly was O Holy Night. But you see, the stall was in a bathroom. And you're thinking, what in the world is this woman talking about? Well, it happened on Sunday. I'd gone out to eat. I had to go to the ladies' room. So I, of course, go into the one stall. And all of a sudden, they start playing O Holy Night. So in my lower voice, I started singing O Holy Night. Well, all of a sudden, down on the other end of the stalls, was a lady singing quite loudly and quite beautifully, O Holy Night. So we sang it together. So you see, Jesus can be anywhere. So I came out of the stall, and I saw a woman standing there washing her hands, and I said, Were you the woman singing O Holy Night? And she said, Why, yes, I was. I said, It was so beautiful. And she said, And were you singing O Holy Night on the other end? And I said, Yes, I was. I said, Only God could do this, right? Only God. And she started telling me of her story. She had a great testimony of how she was delivered from drug and alcohol and how the Lord had brought her family together. And it was such a blessing. And I said to her, Well, I have a story of my own. I said, I have cancer, and said I was diagnosed in the spring. And she looked at me and she said, You know, God wants to heal you, and I believe he is going to heal you. And I said, I'm standing on that too. And she said, However, there's a little piece of you of unbelief. And it struck me at first, and I thought, maybe she's right. Maybe there is a tiny piece of unbelief in me. And I thought, I don't want that. I know my Lord can heal. I know my God can do great things. He brought his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to save us from our sin. How much greater can you have than that? And I said, Lord, I don't want this unbelief anymore. I don't want even a piece of it, because I trust and I believe in you. And I think this Christmas, if you have just that tiny piece of unbelief, if you ask yourself that question, do I have just a little piece of unbelief. If you do, give it to him. And who knows? Maybe you'll be singing O Holy Night in a stall one day. But I will never look at O Holy Night the same way again. But what a blessing it was that God brought her. A coincidence? I don't think so. Another God moment. Merry Christmas.
I'm not really sure how to follow up after that. I feel like there was a bit of a message there, you know. Amen. You know, I stop and I'm thinking, you know, you try to bring the Christmas message. You try to live the Christmas message every day of your life. And we've been in a study the last 4 weeks looking at Christ and the Christmas story and different portions of Scripture. And a part of me thought, you know what, you've almost preached it out. For that 1 second, you thought that. And then I think, you can't preach that enough. It may be a familiar story, but it's never old. It may be the same characters, but it always comes back to the one truth, and it's always about Jesus, and it's always about living out our lives the way Christ wants us to live. I get a big kick out of our leadership team because on Christmas Eve is the shortest message they ever hear from this preacher, because it's a meditation rather not a sermon, and so they kind of laugh and beginning this coming Sunday, looking at a message of what to leave behind in 2019. Anybody have any ideas what they'd like to leave back 2019? So we're going to be taking a look at that, and I wasn't kidding when I was said about just taking a deep breath and exhaling, because you know what I mean. When you get home, there's going to be stuff to do, and you're going to be running around, and you're going to be trying to find the tape, and you know all kinds of things, and tape your dog, and you know whatever else, because you're so trying to get wrapped up in all of these things, and just don't miss it. Just don't miss it. And don't think I didn't notice some of you guys that got suits on tonight. I think you look pretty good. It takes Christmas Eve to get them on you, but you look good. And I love it. My prayer for this moment that we have is that God's presence would fill your heart. Can you say amen to that? That the time that we have together, that God would speak to you in some area of your life for a portion or maybe a bigger portion of what your journey leads from this point on into 2019, into 2020. So would you bow your head with me? Father God, I just ask now, and Lord God, we've heard some good singing. We've heard sincere specials coming from the heart. We even heard a song in a new and creative way. We hear a story of a song in a new created way. But Lord God, we also desire, as we come Christmas Eve, to hear your voice, to sense your presence, to walk a little bit closer with you, for you to minister in some areas of our life that we struggle with. So Lord God, as we move into a new year, then maybe we wouldn't carry so much baggage into it. And we're just going to give you honor. We're just going to give you praise. We're going to thank you for just these few minutes that we have together, trusting that our hearts would be open and our minds would be ready to receive it. And then the rest we're trusting you for. In Jesus' name, amen. When you think of the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and I think about that Bethlehem means house of bread. So as I think about Bethlehem, I think, you know, there it is, our Savior, the the bread of life, the savior to our souls, the one who wants to intervene in our lives. And then I think of Bethlehem, and I think, man, every day on the news, you see Bethlehem or Gaza Strip or all of these different areas that are fighting for the land where Israel and the Palestinians are fighting over this land, and several religions are trying to claim Jerusalem and that area as the capital for their faith. And then I think about that tomorrow and tonight for some. You know, you're going to open up the your presence. You're, you know, the just about the whole world will join in a celebration of Christmas. And then you're going to see that a few will celebrate the birth of Christ, which occurred 2,000 years ago. For some, Christmas is just, there's no other reason that you're going to spend time partying with friends, you're going to have a time of indulging, you're going to be glad that you have a few days off of work. And then for some, it's buying of gifts. It's showing that loved one that you love them by giving them a gift or giving a gift to someone that has provided a service for you for the year, or giving a gift to someone that has been kind. And I'm hoping that you're both, that you won't forget the reason that we're celebrating the birth of Christ, that you won't forget the reason that we're so excited for what Christ has done in our lives, and then also expressing Christ's love to those that we come in contact with. So I don't know if every kiss is going to begin with K for many of you, or if you're a tech geek, or if your best way to celebrate is to be low-key and quiet. I hope that we could agree that Jesus is the utmost reason for this time. That Jesus really is the best gift ever given to mankind. And that you can't do Christmas without Jesus. And if you're trying to do Christmas without Jesus, I'm going to ask you, change the name. Make it Giftmas. Make it something else. But don't make it Christmas. Don't take Christ out of it. And make it just a holiday, or make it just a day off, or make it a legal day that you got off of work. As Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Now I realize some of you don't even know who Paul Harvey is. Years ago, long, long before internet, there was a guy that did syndicated radio, and he would begin the show by talking about the news that happened during the night, and he used the frame "While You Slept," and they just actually did a special on him not too long ago, where at his home he has all of these computers and printers and all the lines from all the different newspapers are all bringing ticker tape kind of things, and he would put this all together. He just recently died, and when you put all of these things together, he would tell the story of what happened while you were gone, again, without internet, without a camera that could take you across the world in a moment's time, where you're actually watching bullets and bombs explode, before all of that. And he would say all of the things that he would say, and then he would end the story with the rest of the story. Now, I grew up in Milwaukee, and he used to have actually one of his syndicated parts in Milwaukee. He would say it's burnt toast and coffee time. And he would end every time, like, this is the rest of the story, and it's burnt toast and coffee time, and he would give the time. But in all of those things, he would try to tell the rest of the story. And I believe the Bible is trying to give us the story. And the rest of the story is us gathering up and digging in and seeking God and wanting him to do these different things to be able to come together and make good decisions on how we live our lives. At Rosedale, during this Advent season, we've looked at it in different ways. One of the ways we looked at it, it was the greatest announcement ever proclaimed was today in the town of David, a Savior has born to you, and his name is Jesus. The greatest love story ever told is not Danny and Sandy from Greece. I'm showing my age, I know. I purposely do that. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, right from the start that Fred read for us, is this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came to be. It begins to lay it out for us. God had a plan. You say amen? God had a plan. He had a plan. He had a good plan. It was a plan that was so good that it confused the wise. A plan that put everyone on an equal level. Aren't you glad that we're on an equal level? God put everyone on equal level until you decide that equal level is that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. But he put us all on an equal plane, an equal ground. Told us right out that we were all sinners and needing a Savior. A plan that could not be stopped because God loved us so much. I shared, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Man, we know that verse. The world knows that verse. The only problem is the world does not grip on and grasp that verse. It's one that everybody can quote. Isn't it funny how people that don't serve God know some scripture? They take it so out of context, but they know it. And they're ready to share it. Fred has read that text. And inside of it, it says Emmanuel, which means God with us. In that text, he says, you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This all took place so he would be fulfilled and the promises kept. So I encourage you, before Christmas gets away, grab your Bibles and look at the Christmas story again. Reread Matthew. Take a look at Luke chapter 2. Matthew 2:11 says this, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Listen to me tonight. I want you to know that presence matters most, but it's not presence in the sense of gifts. It's his presence. It's his anointing. It's his desire to be in our lives. It's my prayer again that our greatest gift that we could receive is God's presence in our lives. And go for it. I mean it. Go for it with presence and show your love for one another. I'm not trying to talk down gifts or anything about the gift giving and showing the love of Christ. But when you're talking about the Christ child, presence matters most. His presence. Our son was in Afghanistan years ago, and he was stationed in Afghanistan. He was there for 10 months, and we received word that he was going to come home after now 16 months, and I'll explain why he was there for so long in just a minute. But 10 months is normal activation before they usually send you home, and after 10 months he was told he was coming home. We were all excited for him to come home. He was on his way home, and his connecting flight was in Kuwait, and we got a call from him in Kuwait that said, Dad, I'm not coming home. They've turned the whole team around, and we're heading back to Afghanistan. I mean, those words were the hardest words at the time that we could grab onto. The hardest phone call that we'd ever received was his call to tell us that he's not coming home. In Christmas 2007, 4 days before Christmas, we get a call from him again that says, Dad, they're giving me a leave. I'm coming home. And at first, your heart is excited. I haven't seen him now for 16 months. The family is all excited to see him, and we're holding our breath again as he's sending me these messages. Dad, I'm in Kuwait. And I'm thinking, no, God, not again. Please don't let this happen again. And we went out and we bought him some things. But I want you to know something. It was his presence that we wanted. There was nothing that you could put in a box or buy at a store that was more important than us physically seeing him and wanting to grab him. And I need to tell you that and these stores and commercials got it all together. They know how to do this. Is any of those commercials where right now they show all these soldiers at an airport and they're coming home? This guy's crying. It just gets me every time. And they know that they're touching the people's hearts. And when I think about Rosedale, and we talked about it as a church, as a group of people, Rosedale has had so many people this past year that has gone through such health issues, fighting cancer and all kinds of health issues and aging out and all of the things that go with aging out. Can I tell you, I think cancer is a hated word. I believe cancer is from the pits of hell, and I believe that we should be praying for healing, and I'm learning that presence matters most. And if I was given a choice between any gift that I want and some of these people receiving the healings, it wouldn't take me a moment to decide what I would want to do. I would choose healing. There's things that I want, but there is nothing that I need more than some of those things. And for those of us that have put our faith in Christ, put our faith in Jesus for salvation, and have prepared a place for him, I am so glad that one day he will defeat cancer once and for all. Can you say amen to that? That one day we're going to have a glorified body, and those that are struggling with health issues, I will not have rheumatoid arthritis in heaven. I consider myself a pretty good athlete, and sometimes I do things and I think, was I really an athlete? When I try to throw a paper in a basket and my arm aches and I miss the basket by 6 feet, I'm thinking, really, am I an athlete? But one day we won't have to worry about that. See, cancer is a tragic reality of living in this sin-stained world. But those that know Christ can rely on him and can walk within him and can trust him that one day that cancer won't be anymore. That one day he'll beat it forever. All of those that we've lost to that dreaded disease, for those that know Christ, we will see them again. And I think of those magi as they bowed before Christ. They weren't worshiping him for what he could give them. They weren't looking for a box. They weren't looking for a certain things to come out. They wanted to be in his presence. They actually wanted to give him. And I believe once you know Christ, once you experience Christ, it changes our whole attitude of, instead of what can Christ do for me, it changes because we're thankful for what Christ has done for our life. It begins to go, what can I do for Christ? What can I do? What difference can I make? See, it's not about a dollar amount. Because I say it this way, your best may not be my best. We're all at a different journey. We're all doing different things. It's about giving God the best of you. It's about a sacrifice, giving out and wanting God to be glorified in what he does through you. It's putting anything above him would be tore down. It's about seeking him. It's about a relationship. See, the wise men understood it. And there's all kinds of things. There wasn't really three wise men. It didn't happen overnight. They were the Christ child was like 2 years old. And sometimes I wonder, you know, it's probably hard to put a two-year-old baby in a little manger. So they just kind of made him a baby. And you stop and you think about all these things that are going on. But Christ came because he saw our struggles. Say amen to that. Christ came because he saw our struggles and he knew that we needed a Savior. He saw every one of those things that we struggle with. And I stop and I think about the word refuge. It comes to mind, and refuge means a place to flee to the protection that you need. If we take refuge in God's presence, who can harm you? If I was at church, I'd be looking for a big amen there. Isn't that why we pray for safety when we travel? Isn't that why when your kids go out on a Saturday night that you offer up a prayer of protection because you don't know what's ahead for them? Isn't that why we pray? Asking God's presence to be in the midst of what we're going through. I'm sure I'm not the only one that has asked God for a head of protection doing certain things. Prophet said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good." Understanding that God's presence was every bit the satisfaction that he was searching for. There is joy that comes from being in God's presence. Amen? Colossians 2, 9 and 10, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority." See, sometimes when we talk about evangelism, and both Josh and Marty alluded to it in talking about some of the things, Josh on Sunday alluded to it, and Marty, when we talk about evangelisms, sometimes we think that people have this impression that we're just going after people to fill a church. But it's a heart condition. It's about reaching out to people. It's about wanting to experience the presence of God. Do we really believe that the only thing that God wants to do is put you in a seat in the church? And the only time that you will ever experience his presence is when you're in church? It's a heart thing. We need to settle where we want to be on a Sunday morning. We need to settle how we're going to handle the things of God. And the truth is, he wants to know you. And he wants to be with you. And he loves you. And he wants to walk with you. He wants to be there when we make decisions. He wants to be there when we have questions. In God's presence, our heart is full. And our heart is glad, even when we're going through hard times. And my question, and I'm wrapping this up, and if you're new to Rosedale, you know that when I say I'm wrapping it up, it only means that I'm slowing down to catch a breath, and I'm probably going to keep going for a while. You can go ahead and laugh. I promise not to go an hour tonight. How far are you willing to go to get into his presence? What are you expecting to happen when you get into his presence? And how are you willing to respond when you get into his presence? See, I'll end with this the lyrics of the song, I Can Only Imagine. I love that song. When I look at the words of this song and it plays out, it makes me want to think of heaven. It makes me want to think of how great God is. And when the verse goes, "Will I stand in your presence, or to your knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all?" I don't know about you, but I don't know what I'd do. I probably would want to talk because I'm a preacher, but nothing would come out because God's got a sense of humor. Because he'd say, all these years you were talking for me, now it's time for you to shut up and listen. Do you love him? Do you want to know him more? That ought to be our challenge moving in. As we see those manger scenes, as we sing those Christmas songs, as we gather together with maybe even some ugly Christmas shirts and sweaters on, whatever we're doing, it ought to bring back Christ. Everything we're doing should at least be a reflection, should be a sense of bringing a smile to our face. And yeah, I think we should be singing hallelujah. When you stop and think one day what our eyes will see and when we'll physically be able to walk with the Lord, those will be moments, won't they?